Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Hub Arkish, inviting you to kick off your football season right with Pro Football Weekly's Football Legends Live. One night only, Saturday, September 8th at 7 p.m. at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. It features Pro Football Hall of Fame legends Brian Urlacher, Mean Joe Green, Lawrence Taylor, Dan Hampton, Anthony Munoz, and Randy White, plus appearances from some of the greatest Bears to ever play on the Chicago gridiron. Join the PFW crew and me for one unforgettable evening. Get tickets and info now at ProFootballWeekly.com for Football Legends Live, Saturday, September 8th, presented by Rumchata and Centegra Health System.
What is up, everyone? Welcome into the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. My name is Dan Mott. Guys, we are so glad to be back this week. I know we took another week off last week, so we thank all the Bears fans for sticking with us. And a lot of Bears news to cover this week. Especially after missing 2 weeks, it's really good to be back. Alongside is Hub Arkish and Bob Laguerre. Guys, how's it going?
Going well, Dan. Good to be back. I hope I'm up. Had a bit of a travel nightmare getting back from Arizona. Denver, Colorado. See, I don't even know where I was. But got to spend a couple days in Denver with the Bears and the Broncos, which was interesting. And good to be back with you guys this morning, Bob.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see a little more of the Bears starters, but it doesn't look like they're going to play much more than a quarter, which I find a little surprising just because, especially on offense, you've got a new scheme and clearly need some work. So we'll see what happens Saturday night, but there's plenty of room for improvement.
Well, as we said, it's great to be back, and you know we're going to be looking ahead today at the Bears and Broncos preseason game. Hub Arkish, as he said, was out in Denver and covering the joint practice between these two teams. And Hub, I think we'll start with that. Essentially, some of your takeaways from this past week out in Denver.
Well, you know, I think it was certainly a good trip for the Bears. It was wise. You know, some people wonder about the benefits of these joint practices. In this case, I think just the chance to work out against somebody else. One thing that happens is, guys, you get out on the practice field and just the sound of the pads thumping is very different because these guys are really getting after each other. You know, the reality is no NFL team goes live, goes full speed in any practice during training camp. It's only in these four preseason, five for the Bears preseason games this year, that you actually do some tackling. You see guys going to the ground. And so there's really three levels. There's the normal level of training camp. There's the slightly accelerated competitive pace and desire when you're working against another team, not your own teammates. And then there's the game. So in that regard, these couple days are good. It has been disturbing in the first week and a half or two of full camp. Of course, the Bears have been in camp a week longer than everybody else, to look around the league and seeing some of these teams have all-out brawls. Vance Joseph and Matt Nagy were determined to avoid that. They did a nice job of it. Nothing resembling a dust-up on the first day of practice, a few minor skirmishes on day two. I don't think there was any question, and most of the media that was there agreed with me, that the Bears won the day one. The offense looked sharp. The Broncos, I don't know if they're just not as good or were a little bit sluggish, but then Vance Joseph lit into their defense after practice on Wednesday. Thursday, the Broncos were the more aggressive. You probably would say that on balance, they won the day, but not as impressively as the Bears did on Wednesday. It's not that the Bears did anything wrong on Thursday. The Broncos just came out angry. And so in particular, I don't know that Denver's a very good football team, but they did have a top five defense last year, number three, I believe, in total defense, four against the run and five against the pass. And watching the Bears offense work against them, albeit again in training camp drills with first, second, and third stringers, particularly on Wednesday, Mitch Trubisky looked pretty good. The offense looked pretty good. It's good to see Allen Robinson taking part in most drills. They seem to be integrating Trey Burton a little bit more. Jordan Howard continues to catch hundreds of passes a day. The one guy that still just isn't very visible to me is Trey Burton, and he keeps meeting with the media every 4 or 5 days. He's definitely becoming a team spokesman. He's out there. He looks fine. They just don't seem to be targeting him as much, and I don't know if that's just something they haven't gotten to in the offensive installation yet or what it is. And then, I'd say the one disappointment is Taylor Gabriel missed the better part of last week with a shoulder. Now he's missing with a foot. He doesn't have a serious injury history with the Falcons, but he is a smaller guy, and you worry about him taking the pounding a little bit. So that's a little disappointing. But other than that, offense looked good. Defensively, getting Roquan Smith back was obviously the story of the day, Bob. I know you were covering it while I was en route to Denver. All the focus on him Wednesday, people still asking questions Thursday. He's not going to talk about the contract apparently ever again, which is really fine by me, to be honest with you, because it's not relevant anymore. Now it's about playing football. What kind of shape is he in? He looks just a little thicker to me. I don't know that that's a bad thing. Working out in Athens, Georgia is not the same thing as being in football shape and going through training camp. So the big question there coming out of Denver is what kind of schedule is he going to be on? How much are the Bears going to let him do? How soon? Other than that, the defense appears to be rounding into shape as well.
Yeah, Hub, I think when you're looking at Roquan Smith, now that he is back in camp, the biggest thing for the Bears is bringing him along quickly, but not rushing him to the point where he risks an injury. I'd be surprised if he played at all Saturday night. So what you're probably looking at is him playing in the fourth preseason game. I doubt that he would play in the fifth game. So he's going to have one preseason game under his belt before he plays in his first regular season NFL game. I think that's probably enough. Everything coaches tell us is that he's a smart kid. He's dedicated. He's in his playbook. He was studying while he was home in Athens, Georgia. He was working out. And again, it's nowhere close to what you're going to get in a full-speed NFL regular season game. But I don't know that he starts in the season opener, but I think it's conceivable that he could be a starter by week two or week three.
Hub, it seemed that Danny Trevathan had a lot of great things to say about Roquan Smith being back with the team. We also may see Trevathan this weekend as the Bears take on the Broncos in this preseason game. I know that no one has really made it official on whether or not Trevathan will be out there. We know that Nagy said that Allen Robinson may have an opportunity, or we will likely see him on the field this weekend. But going back to Trevathan, before we get into Robinson, does this come as high praise? I mean, to have Trevathan saying some of these things about Roquan Smith, does it seem like this sort of linebacker core group is now, finally able to start, getting that chemistry and being this linebacker group that fans want to see?
Well, obviously getting him in was important. The holdout, disappointing, I'm sure, to everybody. Again, not even worth discussing anymore now. Pivotal, to have him with the team in Denver. Ironically, This is the column I wrote for the weekend papers last weekend, that until now it had all been noise, but these were practices. This was a week he could not afford to not be with his team, and apparently he felt the same way. Apparently the Bears felt the same way. So in that respect, it's great and perfect timing to get him in prior to leaving for Denver. And I'm sure that's what Trevathan was relating to. You know, Danny basically congratulated him for his holdout, said, good for him. It's business. It's a contract. You got to take care of yourself. You got to do what you can do. And Bob, that's what all of his teammates are going to do. You know, we sit around and wonder, will some of them be jealous? Oh, he didn't have to go through as many practices or the long days in Bourbonnais. That's not the way players think, you know. I mean, they're all fighting for jobs. They're all fighting for these unique careers where they make a fortune in a very short period of time, and they want to see every one of their buddies make as much as they can. Now, I'm sure that somebody like Trevathan, who will have another contract coming after next year, sees what the kid got for having never played in the NFL, and he'll be thinking about that when he sits down to negotiate again, assuming he can stay healthy and have a couple good years. But for right now, they're just happy to have him there. And yes, I think this is an excellent turning point or pivot point, so to speak, for this linebacker crew, because they've gone from being desperate with just Nick Kwiatkowski on the field, who's a great number three, but maybe not the best number two, being your only inside linebacker, with Trevathan not practicing from the knee rehab and Smith not there, to now you got all three of them. And so now it becomes a strength of the football team. So in that regard, Bob, I think that you got to feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, especially if you consider Danny Trevathan's injury history, they need to have three starting caliber inside linebackers at a minimum. And the guys behind those top three are not guys you want to start. But I think Nick Kwiatkowski has shown that he can fill in. He started 13 games in his first two seasons when other guys, you know, especially Danny Trevathan, were injured. And, you know, history shows us that Danny Trevathan is probably not going to play 16 games. He missed the first half of training camp with a hamstring injury. So we don't know when it's coming, but a Danny Trevathan injury probably is coming at some point this year. Another reason why you want to get Roquan Smith up to speed as quick as possible.
Well, another quick point here, Dan, is you remember in the fourth round you draft Ayibuniwe to also be an inside backer, to be the fourth member of that crew. I've never seen a fourth-round pick kind of be less visible in training camp, Bob. I mean, he had some shoulder injuries. He missed some time. I'm not saying he was a bad pick. Let's wait and see him play. But he really has been the man of mystery so far through training camp. So, you know, again, having these first three becomes that much more critical.
Yeah, and he's a guy they talked up a great deal. And like you said, I don't recall noticing him at all, other than when he wasn't on the field, and that probably set him back a little bit. Nick Kwiatkowski dealt with the same thing in his rookie season. He was hurt with a hamstring throughout the entire training camp almost, so he got off to a slow start, but I think they're still high on him, and you know, I think he's going to see some action this year, but I think it's expecting too much to think that he would be an impact guy or a guy who will play at all other than on special teams in the first probably half of the season.
How about, I want to get into briefly your concern of who actually will be snapping the ball to Mitch Trubisky. I know that there has been some growing concerns about this center position, and Whitehair seemed to struggle earlier this week. They brought in James Daniels, who also looked like he struggled a little bit. What did you see out there in Denver regarding this this position?
Yeah, Dan, I'm sure it's just semantics. I'm not concerned over who it's going to be, because it's going to be Cody Whitehair. We've been told that in no uncertain terms. Matt Nagy has said Cody Whitehair is the starting center. That's what we're going with. The issue and the confusion has been the way they've been moving Daniels around behind him. I think most of us were surprised when they said going to camp that Daniels was going to start competing at guard. About a week ago, they said, we've moved him to center, and he's going to be taking reps exclusively at center right now. And I don't know what to chalk all that up to. I do know that early in camp, Daniels was overmatched at guard. He is not big or strong enough yet to play that position in the NFL. Keep in mind, he won't turn 21 until mid-September. He's going to be a 20-year-old when they go for the opener in Lambeau. So, you know, I've got some guy on Twitter this morning saying, oh, if he's not ready yet, isn't that disturbing for the 39th pick? No, it's not at all. You know, I mean, just because he was a high second round pick doesn't mean he's supposed to be an opening day starter. It takes time with these kids. He's a great prospect. I think his natural position is center. I'm not sure what all the guard stuff was about. And I don't know if it's that they're trying to figure out Whitehair or not. Remember, Cody played 4 years of left tackle at Kansas State. They drafted him in the second round and said, we think he's a guard. And he went to camp as a guard. And then Hronis Grisou, prior to the first preseason game, tore his ACL, and they moved Whitehair over. He played so well. He was an all-rookie center. And all of a sudden, you had the old coaching staff saying, well, this is his best position. Last year, they then try and move him back up to guard. He doesn't play all that well. They're moving him back and forth. And it looks to me, Bob, like they're just in his head. I don't know what else it could be, because Cody Whitehair can play the center position. But on Wednesday, he had one of the worst practices I've ever seen. He double dribbled two straight snaps in the shotgun, 3 out of 5. They don't like putting Daniels in with the one just because he's not ready yet. This isn't a negative. But clearly at guard, he was overmatched. And so they're trying to figure this out. Eric Kush, to my eye, has definitely settled in as the starting left tackle. Bradley Sowell is going to be your swing. Starting left guard for Eric Kush. And then Bradley Sowell is going to be your swing tackle. And Earl Watford is getting a lot of reps with the one at both guards position when Kyle Long has to take time off or even getting to compete, a little bit with Kush. So I think what it looks like is they've already figured out that their three best guards in this order are Kyle Long, Eric Kush, and Earl Watford, that they don't have a backup center. Hronis Grisou, I don't see making this football team. And so apparently Daniels is going to start the season as the number two center. There's a question as to whether he would even be active on Sunday as the number two center, only because if he can't play guard, you're dressing 7 or 8 offensive linemen. So there's plenty of time to still work all this out. The focus right now, and Matt Nagy said it, he pulled no punches on Thursday. He said, right now we're having trouble with the center exchange and the shotgun, and it's not just Whitehair. And I don't know if that was a shot across the bow of Daniels or Grisou or everybody. Then we find out a couple hours later that they've brought in a new long snapper, Tanner Carew, to compete with Patrick Scales. I wasn't even watching that much in practice. So, Bob, everywhere you look when it comes to snapping the ball, you know, the best thing you can say about it is the Bears are in a pretty bad slump right now.
Yeah, I think, though, in a week or two, this will be a distant memory, a blip on the radar. I don't think the sky is falling because Cody Whitehair had a bad practice or even two bad practices. Mitch Trubisky, as expected, came to his defense. I mean, obviously, he's going to do that. But I don't think there's any concern with Cody Whitehair. I remember Owen Kreutz, who is a borderline Hall of Fame center, having some bad shotgun snaps in some of the seasons with the Bears. So I don't have a big concern there. It is, a little bit of a head-scratcher in that a lot of people feel like Cody Whitehair's best position is guard and James Daniels' best position is center, and yet they flip-flopped those two. Maybe, I would agree that Cody Whitehair can start at any of the three interior offensive line positions. No question about that. And as you mentioned, just because he's a 39th pick, that doesn't mean James Daniels has to be a day one starter. Clearly, they drafted him 39th overall for him to be a starter at some point, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in his rookie season. I think if you look back again at Owen Kreutz, didn't start till the end of his rookie season, and he had a pretty nice career. So I think, maybe Daniels is a guy who's going to require a redshirt year, and that's fine. Ideally, you'd have him starting by some point in his rookie season, but even if it's not till year two and he's there for 7 or 8 years, it's still a good draft pick at number 39.
And Dan, one other quick point that exacerbated all this is you go back to the Cincinnati game a week ago Thursday night, and there was one series where on plays, I think it was 3 snaps apart, Geno Atkins first obliterated Eric Kush at guard and then came back and obliterated Cody Whitehair at center. And that kind of set all this off and got everybody talking. Geno Atkins is probably the second best 3 technique in the NFL after, of course, Aaron Donald. And so he's going to do that to a lot of people. It was one play for each, but it was a bad look. And then it led to a rough day in practice the first time they went pads again. And so I think to Bob's point, this is a slump. This is not necessarily a season-defining problem.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Whitehair does against the Broncos on Saturday night. Hub, when you were out there in Denver, what kind of improvements did you see out of Trubisky? It seemed that this week he made some strides in his growth at the position. Did you see anything that stood out as he continues to grow at quarterback?
Yeah, I thought that he was in a better rhythm. I thought that he looked more comfortable. He made some very nice throws. What was particularly interesting about this past week is, as we mentioned, the Denver Broncos, a top five defense when it comes to total yardage, passing yardage. And even with Aqib Talib now moved on to the Rams, you're talking about a secondary that has a Pro Bowl corner in Chris Harris Jr. You've got another one who's very close to that level in Bradley Roby. They're very good at safety. So he was playing against one of the better secondaries in the NFL for both days. And he did seem to be very comfortable and did a nice job. Not having Taylor Gabriel out there, who didn't work either day, takes away some of their options. Again, they're so focused on developing Adam Shaheen that I think that is what is costing Trey Burton targets right now. I don't think that they'll forget about him as they get closer to the regular season. Allen Robinson is working more, but still not 100%. And Anthony Miller, who continues to be the story of camp, is mercurial. I mean, he does some great things, but he also requires some extra tutelage every once in a while. And so even though Trubisky is thrilled with his new, stable of weapons, he rarely has them all to work with at the same time. So it's been a little bit difficult to gauge. Other than Gabriel being missing, he did have most of them for most of both practices. And so I think that helped quite a bit too.
Well, and he's rubbing elbows with Peyton Manning, who I saw was out at the practice as well. Bob, as far as seeing Allen Robinson back on the field this week and getting that chemistry between Robinson and Trubisky established, are we going to see Trubisky looking at Robinson quite a bit in Saturday's game, depending on how long they keep Robinson out there?
Well, if Mitch Trubisky is half as smart as we think he is, he's going to be looking at Allen Robinson frequently, every time he's on the field. I think that's been one of the most pleasant surprises of camp, is that Allen Robinson has been out on the field as much as he was. He was a guy I kind of thought going in, based on the fact that he had a torn ACL in September, that he would probably be on one day, off one day, and something like that. He only missed a couple of practices. And, yeah, they have brought him along slowly. But just in the past week, that last practice they had up at Hamilton Hall before they left for Denver, Allen Robinson looked great. If he's not 100%, he's real close to it. He seemed to be full speed. He's big, strong, physical. He's everything you want in a go-to receiver. He put up monster numbers with Blake Bortles as a quarterback. So he's a guy that I think very quickly is going to become Mitch Trubisky's go-to guy, and a guy that, to me, right now, just from what I've seen, and he hasn't even played in a game yet, to me, he's the MVP of this offense this year going forward, if I had to pick one guy.
And Dan, one other thing about this passing game, and I wrote about this a few days back, and I've talked about it a little bit. It's not a cause of mine. I don't have a dog in this race. I don't really care how it works out. But another story of camp to me is Kevin White, who has been the most available receiver on the team. I mean, and what was the old John Fox line? The best ability is availability, and it's been the greatest liability of Kevin White. He hasn't missed a practice. He hasn't missed a rep. He appears to me in the last week or so to have added another gear, to be getting a little bit more comfortable. And most importantly, because of all the time off for all these other guys, because of how slowly they've brought Robinson along in and out of drills, because Gabriel has missed as much time as he has, Kevin White has taken basically every rep with the ones since camp opened, And so now, are we seeing the seventh overall pick in the draft? He's not a guy who's jumping off the field at you and you're saying, oh, wow, there's the next Julio Jones. But he looks like he belongs. He's making strides. He's dropping fewer balls all the time. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who makes the great one-handed catches or even the acrobatic catches, but he appears to be finding a few plays that work for him in Trubisky, and I'm beginning to think that, he may, in fact, also be a factor in this offense this year.
Hub, as we look ahead to the... Oh, go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw in on Kevin White two things. Number one, and the most important thing for him always, is staying healthy, which he's done. And number two is, if you get him the ball in space, he's going to run for a long, long time before anybody catches him or until he reaches the end zone, because that's one thing he's shown that he can do. I agree 100% with Hub. He's not the Andre Hopkins down the field, but you get the ball to him in space, and he's going to create some huge yards after the catch.
Hub, as we look ahead to this game, how much time are these starters going to get? I know that there's been some talk that this is technically their third preseason game because of that Hall of Fame game that they played. Will we see the starters playing more, or do you think they reserve that for next week?
Well, you know, Dan, one lesson I've learned in over 40 years on the beat is I never look ahead to a preseason game. But or actually, I guess I shouldn't say that. I never look forward to one. I do look ahead to them. And you know, as we look at this, let's call this what it is. Yes, it's going to be the third time that the team suits up in somebody else's stadium, but most of the starters didn't even dress in Canton. Mm-hmm. So that first one was a glorified scrimmage for the second half of the roster. They're going to approach this exactly as they always approach the second preseason game of the year. The all-important third one, which will be technically their fourth, the dress rehearsal, will be a week from Saturday against Kansas City. And don't forget, folks, that's a weird midday exhibition game. But that's when we're going to get the best look at what we can expect for the coming season. As far as what happens in Denver, you know, we're taping, I don't know if anybody cares when we do this, but we're doing it Friday morning after I got back. Matt Nagy told us just before I left yesterday that their standard routine is two nights before the game, the coaches get together and map out a plan for all the players and how much they're going to play. We were actually a little surprised when he confirmed offhandedly that Allen Robinson will play. It was Danny Trevathan and not Matt Nagy or Vic Fangio who said Trevathan would play, and Trevathan said most likely. And then as far as the starters, as far as Trubisky, the usual plan in a second preseason is the first quarter. And so my suspicion is that's about what you'll see. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Thursday night, even Tom Brady stayed on the field to throw two touchdown passes in a meaningless exhibition against the Eagles. So my guess is you'll see the starters for the better part of the first quarter. I would think the only way they get into the second quarter would be if they have a couple three and outs or a couple short possessions. I think you'll see probably a half from the second string before they empty the bench. So you'll see a lot of the 53 guys who are going to make the team throughout the first half, but I wouldn't expect to see your key starters for more than two or three series in the first quarter.
Bob, is there any other under-the-radar guys that we should be watching for in this preseason game, guys that, you know, everybody – at least on the non-starters that we know of, these guys are all vying for positions on this team. I mean, are there guys that might stand out in this preseason game on Saturday?
Yeah, in particular, is Ryan Nall, and everybody saw his 69-yard run against the Bengals, which was impressive enough for a guy who's 232 pounds and comes with the reputation of being a good pass catcher and a guy who can get the short yardage for you. Kind of got overlooked at Oregon State and went undrafted. His team went 1-11 last year. That probably had a lot to do with it. He's also kind of a tweener. A lot of teams looked at him as maybe he's an H-back, maybe he's a fullback. I don't know if he's a running back. I think when you go 69 yards, even a preseason game, maybe that's an indication that you probably could factor as running back. Now, he's in a crowded situation with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Benny Cunningham is, I don't know that he's a lock for the roster, but they like his the option that he gives them on special teams, and he's a versatile kind of do-it-all type running back. But I think Ryan Nall is a guy who, he didn't make the team because he had a 69-yard run, but he at least made people sit up and take notice. And he knows that he needs to do a little more in these next two or three games to even have a shot at the 53-man. So I'm interested to see what he can do Saturday night.
Hub, how about you? Are any guys you're going to be watching just to see, again, some of these under-the-radar guys that might impress us on Saturday?
Well, you know, I don't know about under the radar, but as far as things to focus on, I will tell you that the combination of buzz and hype around Anthony Miller is justified, and I would keep an eye on number 17. He's a guy that is probably going to play most of the first half. And this kid has a chance to be more than just good. I mean, you know, we're talking about every year there's a couple guys who explode on offense, and at the wide receiver position, it's been in the second, third, and fourth round. And this kid, so far to me, looks like he may be even better than we thought he was. And so I would keep a very close eye on number 17. I think that the competition for these pass rush jobs should be fierce. And if Isaiah Robertson, number 47, can go, I would keep an eye on him. Remember, he dominated the first period in Canton and then got banged up. And I'm sorry, guys. One of the dogs just pulled the microphone out of my
ears. Hub, I thought you took a nasty fall.
There we go. That's podcasting, guys. You know, it's a Molly bad girl. She's got a paw stuck in the thing. At any rate, by the way, the three amigos, guys, if you've seen my Twitter avatar and you're listening out there in podcast world, it's Mason, Maggie, and Molly. And Molly's the troublemaker. So back to, I think we covered Anthony Miller. You look at the pass rush guys, you know, Kylie Fitz is a guy that they're hoping can not only make this roster, but can dress on Sunday and give them some push. I don't know what the Aaron Lynch story is. I know we're not going to see him Saturday night in Denver, but apparently Matt Nagy was quoted early in the week as saying, as near as he can tell, Lynch's spot on the 53 isn't in jeopardy. Well, if it's not, then, you know, Sam Acho's got to step up his pass rush game. Robertson has got to be a factor. There's still got to be one other guy, whether that's Kylie Fitz or somebody who hasn't identified themselves. I think, Bob, part of my frustration with that position is that there's not a lot of great competition in camp, in an area of which is a tremendous need for them. So I know I'm going to be watching the pass rush, whether it's outside linebacker or defensive front, and maybe even see if they throw in a blitz or two from the safeties or the corners.
Yeah, like you said, Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz have both flashed. Both look like guys who can contribute as pass rushers. I don't know if they can do a lot more than that. That's what we'll be looking for the next three games. But, yeah, Aaron Lynch, to me, that's puzzling. A guy who did not take a snap after the first training camp practice in the whole time we were in Bourbonnais, has not played in the preseason game, won't play in this one. If that guy's guaranteed a spot on your 53-man, that's an error. That's a cause for concern, I think. Yeah, this guy has shown that he can play when he wants to and when he shows up and when he's healthy, but that's rarely happened in 5 years. So I think yeah, they're desperate for Fitz and Irving and guys like that to maybe show up and prove that they can do it, rather than a guy who, you know, just relying on what he's done in the past and what he may do. I think these are guys who are getting better. I don't know that Aaron Lynch is getting better.
And Dan, one other that I can't believe I left out, but I'm going to be watching 68 James Daniels very closely when he gets in at center, because I think he's going to get his first extended time over the ball. I'm not really worried about Cody Whitehair, at least in terms of the shotgun snap thing. But now that they have moved Daniels from exclusively guard early in camp to exclusively center now, and this probably will be his first extended playing time there in a real game, very curious to see how he handles himself. And then the one other position that really intrigues me, guys, is that I think the Bears are in great shape with their first three running backs. I do think Benny Cunningham's already made the team as a combination special team third down guy. I think that Jordan Howard is probably the most underrated running back in the NFL, and we know what Tariq Cohen can do. I have been very disappointed, quite frankly, in Taequann Mizell. I don't know what he's done to have them clearly lock him in at four on that depth chart, but that's where he's at right now. I think Ryan Nall has been more impressive and to me would be ahead of Mizell, but he's not in terms of reps. And then that signing that they made very quietly on Saturday night, bringing in the veteran Nile Davis. Remember, Nile Davis was with Nagy in Kansas City and played this third or fourth running back role for several years very successfully. The Chiefs kept having injuries, first to Jamal Charles and then to Spencer Ware and Chikandrick West, and Nile Davis kept getting plugged in and did a really nice job. And I'm wondering if that's what they brought him here for, because as much as I think the Bears are really solid with their first three running backs, if Jordan Howard were to get nicked up and miss a game or two, you can't hand the ball off to Tariq Cohen or Benny Cunningham 18, 20 times and expect your running game to be a factor. Nile Davis is a guy who could step in and do that. I don't know if Ryan Nall is. It looks to me like Taequann Mizell isn't. So let's keep an eye on that position very closely as well.
Well, Hubby, you said it best a little bit ago that at the end of the day, this is just another preseason game. But as we've been talking about here, there's quite a few things to watch and things to observe in this game, and it'll be interesting to see where some of these guys are at next week, and in some of these positions, and see kind of where, you know, if the center gets moved around and things like that. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Guys, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. We want to thank you all for listening this week, and we hope that you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast if you've not already done so. And also head on over to ProFootballWeekly.com for the best Bears and NFL news 24/7. Guys, we've been touting these events for the last couple of weeks, and we want to remind you that on Monday, August 27th, if you're in the Chicago area, which many of you are, we are having a live remote event, which will be on Facebook Live as well, at La Barra Restaurant, 3011 Butterfield Road in Oak Brook, Illinois. That will be at 6 p.m., and there'll be a fantasy draft party after the broadcast, so come on out for great food and drink there as well. We also have a huge event Saturday, September 8th at the Rouse Center for the Arts in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Join Pro Football Weekly for Football Legends Live, presented by Rum Chata and Syntegra Health System. We're going to have Brian Urlacher, me, Joe Green, Lawrence Taylor, Anthony Munoz, Randy White, and Dan Hampton, along with MCs Pat Boyle and Dave Kaplan. Plus, the Pro Football Weekly crew will be there, like Hub, like Bob, as well as other surprise guests as we celebrate Pro Football Weekly's honorary team for the ages and the greatest Bears team of the modern era. Tickets are on sale now at ProFootballWeekly.com, so be sure to get yours today. Guys, we hope that you enjoy this Bears and Broncos preseason matchup. We will review this game next week and look ahead to the next upcoming preseason game. So have a great weekend, have a great week, and we will talk to you next time.